abemaciclib is associated with diarrhea that's not seen with the other two agents. On the flip side, there's at least a sense that abemaciclib may be a little bit better drug. If you look in the trial I presented at ASCO, where we were looking at a population of patients who were endocrine therapy refractory, you know, we had a 48% response rate in the patients with measurable disease versus a 21% response rate with hormonal therapy alone. That is a pretty impressively high response rate in a population of patients who progressed through prior endocrine therapy. So maybe that's a hint that abemaciclib may be a little bit more active drug. But again, we have to be really careful about these cross-trial comparisons.
I was just flashing on ALK inhibitors and lung cancer. All of a sudden now there's like three or four drugs out there. They're trying to figure that out. Ovarian cancer, obviously. PARP inhibitors. What about, you mentioned some of the tolerability issues. What about neutropenia, looking at the three? And how much of a clinical problem is it?
Well, so I wouldn't say it's a huge clinical problem. The rate of neutropenic fever for all three drugs is quite low. Abemaciclib has less neutropenia than the other two does, but not so much less that you can avoid obtaining CBCs from the patients. So I'd say in terms of the workload that's required in the clinic, it's probably pretty much the same.
So Sarah, what's your take first of all? And George, it sounds like there are not many, if any, situations where you would not add a CDK4/6 inhibitor to endocrine therapy in metastatic disease.
I do it routinely. Now, again, the qualifier here, and I think it's a really important one, is that we don't have survival data. Or I should say such survival data as we have, such as Rich Finn presented, doesn't help us a whole lot.